Well, good morning. I am glad that Jesus is not here physically. Amen. Would you say that? Say how? Amen. Yeah. I think it's a blessing that he's not here. You see, I'm prone, and I would imagine you are too, to damage something valuable. And we have. And there are days we wish Jesus was here and to help us, but he's not. And I'm glad, and so should you be. You know, I will suffer something painful, and I have, and I wish Jesus was here to help me, but he's not, and I'm glad, and so should you be. You know, we will hurt and lose people, important people in our lives, and we will fail at something critical. And I wish Jesus was here to help me, and I know you do as well, and I'm glad he's not, and so should you be. I will disappoint God deeply, and I wish Jesus was here to help me not do that, but he's not, and I'm glad, and so should you be. So I'm quite sure after you are now saying, okay, get this guy off the platform. Jesus was trying to tell his disciples the same thing. In fact, Jesus would endorse what I'm saying. He tells his disciples, it is actually good that I leave. It is good that I am not here physically. And in essence, he says this to them, which will be the thought that we hold on to for the rest of the day, that the heartache of my absence will be replaced by the assurance of the Spirit's presence. The heartache of my absence will be replaced by the assurance of the Spirit's presence. So Jesus says, it's actually good for me to leave, and you should be glad, telling the disciples, and so should you and I be glad that Jesus is not here physically. That's what we're going to talk about today. How do we live when Jesus is not present? How do we live this life that Jesus gave us when he's not present? So I remember Jesus is having a discussion with his friends, and John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is all about Jesus having this intimate conversation with them. Why? Because he's about to leave. And he's been telling them and teaching them lessons that they're going to need to draw on after he leaves. Stuff like love one another, sacrifice for one another, wash one another's feet. Hey, how about forgive your betrayer? How about simply persevere, hang in there? So Jesus is teaching them all of these lessons, and he says, when I get ready to leave, I need you to be able to draw on these truths that I've been teaching you so that you might live like I've called you to live. So Jesus is like a parent, right? He's like those of you who are parents in the house, in the room, you know exactly what Jesus is doing here. You and I, we teach our children lessons, and we model before them, and we show them how to forgive. We show them how to spend money. We show them how to relate to one another. We show them, for those who are married, we show them good and healthy marriages, and we show them how to deal with conflict so that when we are not around, around and we are not proximal. And when we die, they will take what we've taught them and model it to the world and model it to their children and their children and their children. And so this is exactly what Jesus is doing. I'm about to leave, and I'm about to leave the whole thing in your hands. You're called to make disciples. You're called to help people know how to forgive. You're called to help people live humble lives. And so if there's infighting with you, how is the world going to know that I exist and that I'm worth following? And so Jesus teaches them these lessons, and he says, it's important for me to get out of here. Now they don't hear anything else Jesus has to say because he says, I'm leaving, and they are saddened by those words. But Jesus wants them to know that the heartache of my absence will be replaced by the blessing of the Spirit's presence. It's important that I leave. It's important that I leave and be enthroned. If I leave and I'm not enthroned, you will not be empowered. So there's this sense where Jesus co-signs and says, hey, listen, it's important that I leave. Now, this is super, super important to us, because Christians all over the world are going through heartache and pain and suffering. Christians all over the world are languishing in their journey with Jesus. Christians all over the world is like, how do I live this life? I know I love Jesus, at least I want to love Jesus, but I don't know how to live. And every time I take two steps forward, it feels like I take five steps backwards. How do I live in such a way where I can tap into the power that actually helps me to live like Jesus said we would live? How is it that I can look at somebody else and they seem to be going along in their Christian journey and they feel like they're close to God and it feels like I'm just simply going through the motions? And Jesus says he helps us to answer that question today. I think he wants us all to know that you don't have to live this Christian life alone. I think he wants us all to know that you have an incredible resource, an incredible resource that will help you live the life that I died for. When he died on the cross and gave us life, and then he says, now I want you to go and live as my followers in a dark world. Represent me. And we all ask, like, how do we do that? And Jesus answers that today for us. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we're going to pick up at verse number 15. John chapter 14, and we're going to pick up at verse number 15. This is what Jesus says, John chapter 14. So if you're new to the Bible, Matthew is the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book of the second part of the Bible. First part of the Bible ends with Malachi. The first part of the New Testament begins with Matthew. So this is what Jesus says. If you're looking on the Bible, in the Bible the church has provided, page 901. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So for Jesus, obedience to him and keeping his commands is a big deal. Really is a big deal. Obedience is important because when we obey Jesus, the world will see that God exists and that he's worth following. When we obey Jesus, it is an indication that we actually love him. Now, to John, there's only one test of love, and that is obedience. It was obedience that Jesus showed his love. In obedience, he showed his love to the Father, and it is our obedience where we show our love for Jesus. Now, New Testament scholar C.K. Barrett says this, John never allowed love to devolve into a sentiment or emotion. Its expression is always moral and is revealed in obedience. Now, we know this all too well, right? We know this all too well. You know, Mother's Day just passed. Father's Day is coming. And kids, oh my God, Mom, how I love you so much. And Mom's got cards, and Dads will probably get a handshake or something like that. Dads will get cards as well. I love you so much. Then Mom and Dads are saying, well, why do you irritate me so much? Why don't you do what I ask you to do? There's this sense where there is an expression of love verbally, but is there a love that actually says that I really do with a sense of obedience? We see this, husbands and wives do the same thing, right? I love you, I love you, and so why do you irritate me so much, and why do you are so unkind to me at times? And so there's this sense where Jesus is actually saying the same thing, that if you love me, then do what I've commanded you to do. And this is not punitive. This is out of your love for me, out of your care for me, out of the importance of what I've told you, I'm just simply inviting you to do what I've asked. There's more joy in obedience to what I say than for you living your own way. So that's kind of the concept. But how do we, this is a question that I'm asking, and I know if I'm asking, you're probably asking it as well. How do we keep Jesus' commands when he is not present with us? How do we obey when there are so many obstacles that actually keep us from obeying Jesus? How do we obey when the pressure of the world is greater than our power to resist? How do we obey God when it seems impossible to do the things that he's commanded? Like I want you to love your enemies. Now, I know that's the right thing to do, but there are days where I don't want to do that. He says, bless those who hurt you. Like, I don't want to bless them. I want to hurt them back. And so serve those who serve one another. Listen, I'll tell you, I know that's the right thing to do, but I am all about self-preservation and other people serving me. Forgive your betrayer. Like, no, I want to do something else to my betrayer. I know the right thing to do, but so many days I fall short doing it. How do we do this? How do we do the things that Jesus has commanded and we want to do, but we find ourselves not doing? Well, Jesus answers that, and he answers it with a teaching that I think is super, super critical. It's basic, but it's super critical for every single follower of Jesus. So here's the note. So the first thing that Jesus does, he says, all right, I obedience is a big deal to me. And because obedience is a big deal to me, there is that the big deal of obedience is now how do we do it? Obedience is central to following Jesus, but central to our obedience to Jesus is the presence and the power of the Spirit. So listen. So here's the note. Jesus actually sends us another of the same kind. Look at verse number 16. Verse number 16, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you another helper. So what Jesus does, he sends us another of the same kind. The word another here is the same substance, like myself. That everything that I did when I was physically present, I am now going to send you another person, and he is going to do all the things that I've done to you, but just in an exponential way. Okay? So he says, I'm giving you another of the same kind. So he doesn't leave us to struggle in this Christian life alone. He actually gives us another helper, in this case, is Holy Spirit. You see, when the disciples were afraid, Jesus showed up and they felt encouraged. When they were kind of languishing in their faith, Jesus showed up and their faith was strengthened. When they were without power, trying to cast out demons, Jesus shows up and they were able to, with Jesus' help, to cast out demons. So Jesus doesn't leave us to go about this alone. Now, the Greek word here, comforter, New Testament is written in Greek. This New Testament word, comforter or helper, is probably not as good of a translation as it could be. Now, when Greeks talked about helper or comforter or the Greek word parakletos, they were saying that it meant several things. I want you to get the picture of what they were talking about. When they said a person is a parakletos, they were saying that the person who comes in, a person who comes in and alongside. And so when we look at this word, the Greeks give us several different colors of this word. Here are some of those. A person called in to give witness in a law court in someone's favor. Every day we are in the court of law and Satan says they don't belong to God. The Holy Spirit comes along and says they do belong to God because Jesus died for them. They surrendered their lives to Jesus and they are followers. They are not perfect, but they are his children. Here's another color. An advocate called in to plead the cause of someone under charge, which would issue a serious penalty. We all deserve hell. We all deserve a complete separation from a holy God. But the moment you and I say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are children of God. When the accuser, Satan, accuses us, then the Holy Spirit reminds us. In fact, he intensifies our sonship and daughtership. He intensifies and reminds us that you belong to God. What you're doing doesn't match the likeness of your father. Here's another. An expert called in to give advice in some difficult situation. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you another comforter, another helper, someone just like me. So when you get in a tough spot, when you don't know which decision to make about school and a marriage, and when you don't know what decision to make about where you should live, what neighborhood you should live in, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I'm going to send him, and he's going to come alongside you, and he is going to give you expert advice from the mind of God to show you what you should do, how you should live, how you should act in a dark and broken world. He says, another picture of this, a person called in when a company of soldiers were depressed and dispirited to put new courage in their minds and hearts. Jesus says, I'm going to send you another person like myself. When you feel like you're discouraged, when you feel like you can't make it, when you feel dispirited, the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside in a supernatural way, and you're going to talk to him, he's going to talk to you, and he's going to place courage in your heart to speak up when you need to speak up, to say what you need to say, to represent Jesus in dark and cold places. It's giving wisdom and expert opinion, and yet we don't take advantage of that. We don't take advantage of what he's given us. Here's another picture of this. It's someone called in to help in time of trouble or need. Someone who's called in to comfort in a time of need. Jesus says, I'm going to send you someone else like myself. And when you need him, he's going to be there. He's going to come alongside you. And he's going to infuse your heart. He's going to infuse your heart with encouragement. He's going to infuse your heart with comfort. When that bully starts messing with you, he is going to say, the Spirit of God is going to stand up inside that person and say, you now have the courage to deal with this situation. This is what Jesus is saying In essence, Jesus is saying a trusted friend. He's going to be a trusted friend like I was. I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to be your trusted friend, vouching for you, encouraging you, supporting you, challenging you. I would dare say even convicting you. It's kind of like a like the Holy Spirit in this case, as these first verses, like a parent. If you've ever, how many of you, you know, you taught your kids how to ride a bike, or you taught some your grandkids how to ride a bike? Okay, just a few of you. So I take it that the rest of you don't know how to ride bikes. No, I'm just kidding. So you know, it's like we have our kids and we put training wheels on the bike. And even with training wheels on, we have our hand under the seat, our hands on the handlebars, and we walk alongside them. And then comes the day. You know that day. You're scared out of your wits because this is the day, hey, we're taking the training wheels off. You take the training wheels off and you're nervous. He or she is nervous, and you have your hand under the seat, hand on the side of the handlebars, and you're running alongside, you got this, you're doing great, I'm going to let you go, and then you let them go, crash. Mommy, I don't want to do this anymore. And they got scrapes and scars, and what do? You don't just take the bike back in the house and just say, all right, we give up. No, you take them back, and you say, hey, we're going to get this. We're going to get this. And you hand under the seat, hand on his handlebars, and you go, and they're pedaling. You got this. You're doing great. You let them go, and then they start riding, and the parents are like, you're doing it. And Jesus says that's exactly what the Spirit of God does. He comes alongside every believer. And he says, as a husband, and the Holy Spirit has his hand under the seat on the handlebars, and he's moving. You're doing it. You're loving her without her asking you to. You're doing it. And then one day you crash. And he gets you back up and say, let's do this again. And he does the same thing, and you're riding. And then all of a sudden he lets go, and you're riding. And the Holy Spirit jumps up. Oh, my God, you're doing it. Oh, I am God. So, yeah. Oh, me, you're doing it. Jesus wants them to understand the heartache of his absence will be replaced by the Spirit's presence. So he is another of the same kind, just like Jesus. But Jesus teaches us something else that I think is important, that he is not just coming alongside us. This another of the same kind now lives inside us. He now lives inside us. Look at verse 17. This is what it says. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you, comes alongside of you, but he also dwells in you, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. One of the most encouraging facts about following Jesus is that we're not alone. We're not by ourselves. We are not just in this world to live in our own strength and own power. I think we forfeit so much when we don't recognize that the Spirit of God is the resource that Jesus intentionally sent so that we might live more successfully, not in the world standard, by the world standards, but connection with God. And again, these are common feelings that, man, I feel like I'm alone, but we don't have to be. Why? Because the Spirit lives inside of us. I think Jesus is trying to get them to understand, you're going to have heartache when I leave, but it's going to be replaced by someone else, the Holy Spirit. I know there are days where I wish I could speak face to face with Jesus, tell him all the hurts and pains that I've experienced. I wish I could speak face to face with him and let him know that I wish, you know, I should have my life together by now, but I don't. I wish I could speak face to face, and I'm quite sure you do as well, and I wish I could tell him that I thought I would be further ahead by now. I know you probably wish the same thing, that I wish I could speak face to face with Jesus and say, do you know how confused and disoriented I am right now? I wish I could speak face to face with Jesus, and I would imagine you would feel the same way. You feel the same way, that there are days where I feel worthless. There are days where I don't even feel like I'm a believer. I wish I could speak face to face with Jesus and tell him those things. And I know if you're anything like me, you wish you could speak face to face with him as well and tell him all the stuff that's going on in your life. Like, how did I get cancer so young? But I'm glad Jesus is not here. You know why? Because, man, we have access to him through the Holy Spirit. So everything that you wish you could tell Jesus right now, everything you wish you could tell him about your marriage and about your health and about your life, you can now find a quiet place and tell the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he lives inside of us, and we can tell him, I feel worthless. You can tell him that I'm being bullied. You can tell him that I feel unloved. You can tell him all of the things that you want to tell Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is Jesus' emissary, representing him on planet Earth, in our lives, inside of us, and we can have a conversation with him even now. Now, there are sometimes people don't know that. It's like, whoa, I just thought you just went to church and read the Bible and that was it. I didn't know there was more to this. I didn't know that there was the abundant life doesn't come with going to church and reading the Bible, and all of those things are great. The abundant life comes from my engagement with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He is the one that develops love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control in our lives. So it's almost like I think the vast majority of Christians, we're sitting on a gold mine and don't know it. We are sitting on resources and we've not used them. We continue to live as paupers, poor people, when Jesus has sent a resource like himself to show up in our lives like he did in the disciples' lives. So the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Check this out. Let's imagine for a second that Jesus was in Jerusalem right now. Like, listen, Delta, United, American, they'll be like, I mean, and he's real Jesus, not fake Jesus, but real Jesus. The airlines would be crazy trying to get people to the Middle East. In fact, it's like, you know something, I'm not even going to try, because every flight is booked. There's no way I can get there. Perchance, you do get there. You know how long the lines would be for people trying to get to see Jesus, have him touch them? It would be impossible for us to physically connect with Jesus. And yet, we don't have to take airplanes, wait in long lines. Holy Spirit, living inside of every believer, and we can access him now. We can access him about our finances, our money, our marriages, our relationships. We can access him to help us speak up to those who are far from God. We can access him now. He reminds us, and he tells us, and he intensifies the life of Jesus in us. So when we don't know what to do, He's actually there to help us. You see, the heartache of Jesus' absence is replaced by the assurance and the blessing of the Holy Spirit's presence. So I'm glad Jesus is not here. He's enthroned. But I'm glad he's not here physically, because there's no way we would be able to connect with him. There's no way we would physically be able to contact him, because there's so many people trying to do the same thing. And yet, we have access to him through the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is another of the same kind. He comes alongside. He not only comes alongside, he actually lives inside of us. But not only does he live inside, he actually lives inside in order to guide us. Listen to the text. This is verse 17, John 14, 17. This is the NLT, New Living Translation. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you. He lives with you, and now and later will be in you. And this is John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you the things that are to come. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is kind of like an internal GPS system. And that GPS system guides us, helping us to make decisions, leading us. He leads us into all the truth about God, that God is love, that God is patient, that God is kind, that God is also holy. But he also leads us into all truth about him, about Jesus. That Jesus is, in fact, the way, the truth, and the life. There are no other ways to get to the Father. Jesus is the only truth, and Jesus is going to be the only way you find abundant, like real life. Not the fake life that we get from stuff, but real life. And so he guides us, and he leads us, and he helps us to understand everything Jesus said. He actually continues the teaching ministry of Jesus, and he does that through the Word of God. So I want you to, this is something you may know, you may not know, is that the Holy Spirit actually wrote this book. He used men and women to write it, but he wrote it, so it behooves us to actually pay attention to what he says. Listen to the text. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, knowing, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wrote this so that we might know how to love God and love people. So it behooves us to know what Jesus had to say in this book. Well, what's the purpose of this? First, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So the Bible was written so that we might know that we would know the whole story of God, that he sent his son Jesus to die for us, but that we would also know how to live for him, and that we would be reminded of that, to correct us when we're wrong, to encourage us when we're right. And this happened to me this past Friday, where my relationship with the Holy Spirit, I tapped into it, and he reminded me that I was wrong on something. So Friday was Marvin Jr.'s birthday. He turned a quarter of a century, 25 years old. Man, it's like a long time, right? And so we do parties real big. Every birthday is like a huge deal. We go all out. We spend money. We cook big dinners. And so that's what we plan to do on Friday. And so I'd gone the day before. I got like two T-bones. I'm not trying to, you know, say anything about vegetarians or anything like that. I'm just saying this is the way we do it. And so I got two T-bones. I got New York strip, and I got a porterhouse just for him, like one of the biggest ones they had, because he likes when I grill. And so I marinated the meat the night before, and it was smelling really good. It's like, okay, I am ready. You know, we got the potatoes and the asparagus and the burgers and the dogs and the corn on the cob, and I just made somebody hungry. And so rolls, Tanya's doing rolls, and like, it's gonna be like shabam. Like, so he calls me at 10:30 on Friday morning and said, "Dad, I feel like the Spirit of God is leading me to go to this worship thing tonight." Like you would have thought that he was like, he's like, "Dad, I'm going to a strip club." Like, that's, he's going to worship God, all right? And so I'm feeling some type of way about this, right? Like I'm feeling like angry and hurt and disappointed, and how could you? And do you know how much we've done to celebrate your birthday? So I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking all of this stuff, right? And so I said, you know, the heart is desperately wicked. I'm saying, like, do whatever you want to do. That's that passive aggressiveness, right? Do what the Spirit says for you to do. But deep down inside, I'm saying, this is wrong. You know we were planning this, and we've been planning this like the last 364 days we've been planning this. And you knew that you were going to the worship thing. How come you didn't tell us the early time of the... Now, I didn't say that, but I'm thinking this, right? And so I said, hey, I'm not telling everybody. You drop the note in the chat, and you see what they say. You let them figure it. Let them either say thumbs up or no, you're wrong. And so I went downstairs, and I talked to him. I said, "Tanya, you know what Marvin just said?" Because he just texted me. He didn't text his mom. "You know what Marvin just said? Marvin said he is going to some worship thing tonight, and we can't do the dinner tonight." And she said, I think it was the Spirit of God through her, saying, "But it's his birthday. If he wants to go to a worship thing tonight, it's his birthday. Let him do it." But wait a minute. You like I did all of this work. But sweetie, don't... So it's interesting, the devotion that I read early in the morning is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, where it says, if you follow the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. So I went back upstairs and had this conversation with the Holy Spirit, saying, I'm hurt, and this is not right. And why did you convict him to go to a worship thing, and how come you didn't do it the other way? And so the Spirit gently convicted me. The Spirit gently, who lives inside me, another of the same kind, led and guided me to say, this is not about you. It was a discipleship moment, not for Marvin, but for me. And at that moment, I text him and said, "Dude, we celebrate you. We love you. If you sense that the Spirit of God is leading you to be at this worship event, never know how God will show up in those moments. You have our full blessing. We celebrate you. We just want you to know that you are so important to us. And go ahead and go." And I said, "In your absence, we will eat this steak in honor of you." And And I was leading those people. I was leading because we had more people than we had anticipated. And so I said, just do what you sense God is calling you to do. And he said, hey, what about this? And I believe this was of the Spirit as well. Hey, why don't I come between 1:30 and 5:30? And then I just have to leave at 5:30. So I dropped the text in the chat and said, hey, this is what can we do this? Can you come? Can you all come earlier? So everybody, Mike and his wife and Ashton and others said, hey, we can be there at 4. And we had an amazing time. We had a great time celebrating him. But it was because Jesus sent another of the same kind who lives inside, to guide us into all truth. Truth about ourselves, truth about God, truth about Jesus. And he does one last thing, and I'll just close here. He guides us when he reminds us. So Jesus sends another of the same kind, and that another of the same kind lives inside. Why does he live inside? He lives inside so that he might guide us every day. And one of the ways he guides us is he reminds us of everything Jesus said. And the only way we can know what Jesus said is we actually have to read Jesus' words and his teachings. So here's how I want to close the time, and time is far spent. Here's how I want to close. I want us to stand, and I'm going to give you some hand motions along with a few words. Later on, you can feel the words in yourself, but I'm going to give you some hand motions, and because the Spirit of God wants to be active in every believer's life, every day, no days off. The only thing we have is our bodies to either be led by him or forced to resist him. I pray that as a church, we would submit to the authority of the Spirit of God in our lives, that we would have a relationship with him, that we can talk to him. He can not only convict us, but comfort us even when we're wrong. So here's what I want us to do. So we're going to do some hand motions. I want you to put your hands on your head or temple like this, representing your mind. And I want you to repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I offer you my mind. Help me to fill my mind with Jesus' words so I can remember what he said. And then put your hands on your eyes and say this with me. Holy Spirit, I offer you my eyes. Help me to see people as image bearers, deserving dignity, honor, and respect. And then put your hands on your mouth. And we may need to leave it there for a while, right? And say, Holy Spirit, I offer you my mouth. Help me to speak words of healing, comfort, and encouragement. And then hold your hands like this and just say simply, Holy Spirit, I offer you my hands. Help me to help those in need. And I would dare say the mouth and the fingers together with the keyboard and social media probably can go together. Here's another. Put your hand over your heart. Holy Spirit, I offer you my heart. Help me to love God and people who don't have a relationship with him. And then if you can just place your hands on your thighs or knees and head, shoulders, knees and toes, right? Just kind of as your feet, representing your feet, your legs, and say this with me. Holy Spirit,
Holy
Spirit, I offer you my feet.
Help me to go
where I can share my life
with others
who need to know Jesus
or those who already know him.
May God bless you. Have a great week.